Everybody, this is Michael Engel from the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I'm just jumping in here because we have a little bit of bonus content for you. On Thursday the 15th, we posted our episode talking about the Royals' performance in the Major League Baseball draft, and we talked to Clint Scholes from Baseball Prospectus Kansas City about his thoughts and everything. But the great thing about what Clint does for our site is he goes out there and contacts coaches, talks to the players, and even reaches out to Royals officials. So he sent me some audio of a phone call that he had with Lonnie Goldberg, who is the Royals director of scouting. So what follows is about 17 minutes of discussion about the Royals draft in 2017, some of the key players, some sleepers, and a couple of other tidbits about other guys in the farm system. So I hope you enjoy what Clint does. He certainly works quite hard at getting a lot of that information that you don't really track down from a lot of other sources. He does a whole lot of hustle to get these interviews and talk to these people. So what's going to follow is about 17 minutes between Clint Scholes and Lonnie Goldberg. Enjoy.
Let's start with Nick. You guys, obviously, where do you have him on? I can't tell me exactly where do you have him on his board, but as it fell to you, where roundabout did you guys have him on your board just as a whole?
He was obviously up at the top of our high school position players. You know, I think I've mentioned how we rank our boards and how we set him up. So he was at the up at the top of our position board, high school position board. So as it fell into place, he was at the top. So we were fortunate, to be able to select him.
Then, as far as what he is, he's not the prospect that Eric Hosmer was coming out, but is he the same type of kind of alpha male personality in the clubhouse, that kind of leader type kid?
Well, I've known Hos since he was 17 years old, and they are, different types of people, but I think very similar type of players. And I do think there's a lot of similarities between the two. They're both leaders. They're both can be vocal and, lead by example type guys. But he's done a lot of the same things Hos did. A lot of Team USA, a lot of big events, been on the big stage. Very, very comparable type players and people. Very good first base and the ability to hit. And, we think go ahead and run into some power too.
He and MJ both, they're both high school kids, but you guys obviously got to see quite a bit of both of them. How does that compare to maybe a college player?
I think they were both advanced at their position, which I think is unique. I mean, you can look at Nick because of where he's from, how much baseball he's played. We did a lot of those comparisons when looking at him, comparing him to the college player. He's very advanced, and you don't see that kind of skill set with the ability to have those skills play a lot of times that often in a high school player, and he's been able to do that. And then MJ just being so athletic behind the plate, and he just does things that you can't teach. Extremely loose, extremely flexible, extremely athletic, plays with high energy, high passion. Those are the things that you really can't teach, and he had those ingredients already with obviously a plus throwing arm. So just like both of them, their bats are going to have to continue to develop, and the minor leagues does that for you. But both of them very skilled at their positions, and the defensive part of it obviously is very important.
You guys have a talented 17, 18-year-old catcher in your system already in Sebastian Rivero. How would you compare him with MJ?
Unique. I mean, Sebastian's he's a very, very plus makeup kid, plus teammate. He is very skilled, you're right, and I think we've got a pretty good young group when you add MJ to this mix. Sebastian's one of those guys that I think as he gets older and develops, he's going to turn into probably surprise a lot of people. And because he's a really, really good baseball player and he's very, very intelligent. MJ, maybe a little bit more athletic. But overall, I think they're both going to play off each other and they can both learn from each other. But it is a good comparison. I think MJ's probably a little bit more athletic, maybe a little bit more projectable body. But Sebastian is very advanced, especially with knowledge of how to play and how to call the game at such a young age. Just a very intense and professional kid. It's very rare to see this, but when you talk about the Latin American kids and Venezuelan kids and the kids that come over from out of the country, it takes them a little bit longer just to adapt, and it didn't seem to take him very long at all to adapt.
I actually saw you at one of Dan Tello's starts, and I've talked to Coach Rardin and talked with Evans, Coach, the other day. How do those two compare? Because body wise they're very similar, arm angles seem very similar. How do they compare in your eyes?
I think you probably know how much we have an affinity for left-handed pitching, and to get two of those guys, very big bodies, very strong, different arm angles that they throw from. And the key is, I think they're pretty athletic for their size and their bodies, and the fact that they throw strikes. I think they're both just now touching the surface. I think if Evan and Dan hadn't run into a couple hiccups throughout the year as far as missing some time, I think there would have been a lot more people for them throughout the draft. I think you add them into the college mix of arms that were pitching at a lot of the major schools and universities, and if you put them, in my opinion, in that situation, they would have been right there with a lot of them just because they had a chance to be starters, and they're big and left-handed. So, very unique at the same time in each way. I know Dan's kind of – I think he's just probably coming into his own. And hopefully, what some of our guys saw at different times is going to, let the ceiling that he has in his body and his arm come out. I think they're two great arms to have in the system, and two really good projects. When I say projects, I don't mean they're projects if they don't throw strikes. I just mean that I think they're still both, developing at a unique point for what they're doing. And I think there's still a big ceiling in both of them.
One guy that you guys have had a lot of success with this year is Nicky Lopez. He's having a great year down in Wilmington. Advanced feel for the strike zone, up the middle athlete, plays great defense. Obviously, Michael Gigliotti plays a different position, but is that kind of what you feel the type of player he could be, is what Nicky's doing right now?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because this morning when I did the quick thing with interview, I talked a little bit about last year's draft, and we have I want to say it's 6 or 7 players from last year's draft already in Wilmington, and I think we had 4 or 5 All-Stars from last year's draft early on. And I only bring that up because those guys advanced and at a pretty good pace. And you bring up Nicky, because to me he leads the charge for all that, and he's a just a very, very special player, a premium position guy that could stay at shortstop, but he doesn't strike out very much. He works at bats. He has competitive at bats. He's got some sneaky juice in his bat. He's got enough speed to do damage, and if you hit it in the gap, you got a chance for triples. But he's an ultimate leader, and he loves to play. And when we saw Giggs play a lot, and we've had a lot of history with him from our scout, that was our area scout, Sean Gibbs, who had him last year, to he's now cross-checking this year. He's had a ton of history with Giggs and the coaching staff there. And the one thing you're going to get from the kid is he absolutely can play defense, and he absolutely has fun playing the game. And it just fits who we are and the style of team we are. And we all know that the hitting is the hardest thing to figure out, but getting these guys in your system and getting them a chance to do it every single day with coaching, learning the game, and putting a whip bat in her hand. He had a good cape. You know, he's led the nation, I think, the last 2 years in bunt singles. So there's a lot of things that he does that can impact the game in a speed fashion and obviously a defensive fashion. So, and they're both left-handed hitters. So you're talking about two premium position players that possibly do similar things. And but I do know this, the two things that I can tell you about both of them is they absolutely love to play. And you can't, you know, you can't do – you that can't be rewarded enough to how infectious that is to the other players on the team.
I just got off the phone not too long ago with Tyler Zuber's coach. This is a kid, from what he's telling me, 95, 96, hard slider, same tunnel as the fastball, so it's very tough to read. Is this a reliever that you guys think could be a fast mover?
I do. That was the question that was brought up at the end of the draft as we reviewed our, we reviewed the players for JJ and everybody and Ronnie Richardson. And that was what Greg Miller said. He said, this has got a chance to possibly be a fast track reliever. It's like a disappearing type fastball. I don't think guys see the ball very well. This is somebody that Matt Price had been on for quite some time, had some history with, and I think the velo spiked a little bit this year and his numbers were obviously off the charts. But another kid with a good fastball, good slider, and a guy that's ready to go play. He might have been the first player we signed after day one. And or after day two, excuse me. So we're hoping that. Personally, I hate to put those those expectations on kids because you just don't know until they get out and get going. But it sounds like he has the ingredients to do so.
Couple guys I don't have a lot of information on. Robert Garcia from UC Davis. Can you kind of explain what type of guy he is?
Well, when we got into day three, we pulled over some more magnets that guys had different characteristics that we liked. You know, some could have been, hey, really big fastball. One could have been great ground ball, guy with a good arm. Well, he was the top lefty that we brought over. So big body, actually watching video, he was very similar. Remind us a little bit of Byron Davis, the player we took, big left-handed pitcher in Lexington right now. Just watching the videos, it looked like there were some similarities. He was a starting pitcher, left-handed pitcher. So those guys, you never know. Maybe he'll go out as a starter, but he's been up to 94 at times. We've seen him. We saw him last year as well. You never know. Maybe those guys end up jumping in the bullpen and the velo really. But he's big, he's left-handed, and like I said, we've done such a good job. Our player development guys have done such a really good job with the left-handed pitching that we're just adding another big frame, big arm that we've seen up to 94 and at times. So we've seen Tillo up to 97, we've seen Steele up to 95, we've seen Garcia up to 94, and some of these guys jump. I know we've got a Love Lady down in Wilmington right now who, when we actually scouted him, we saw him 91, maybe touch a 92, and he's been up to 95, 96. So hopefully that'll be the same thing that happens here with Garcia.
Yeah, Love Lady's having an outstanding season.
Incredible.
You guys seem to take a few more preps from the, 15 on back to the 40. You have any of those guys signed yet?
No, we don't. Our thought was, there was some still high ceiling kids on the board. We felt, I think we had filled, done a pretty good job of fielding some of our clubs. And I just thought those were guys that our scouts really liked. They had high aspirations for those kids. They liked the ability they had. And I just said, hey, let's take some of these guys, take the next couple of weeks to see them. Get them in maybe for some workouts and get our eyes on them a little bit more and see who wants to play. But we've got a pretty good host of them. It's the most we've had in a long time. We used to do this a lot, have some after the draft or after the, 10th round type guys that we'd bring in the stadium and work them out. And then as the system's changed a little bit and your money's changed a little bit, it kind of slipped away. Cause it's something that I think we've really enjoyed doing. We have the extra club, we want to stay as extremely athletic as we can. And I think that that we put ourselves in a position to hopefully see if any of these guys want to go out and play, and if they feel they want to start their career now. So that's the reason and the route we went.
You have the room in your pool to add a few of them if you wanted?
I don't know. That's going to obviously hopefully shake out here in the hopefully very near future so we can get some relief from it. But we'll be working on those things, obviously, the next couple of days and see how they go. And I'm headed down to Arizona tonight for mini camp because that's going to get started with physicals and stuff. So we'll try to put some of those pieces together with an alternate plan in place with a few of those guys that we selected that you mentioned.
And then a couple last questions. What's your opinion of the new CBA and the new arrangements with free agents? How did you feel that came out for you guys?
With regards to the new CBA following next year with the free agents?
Yeah.
Man, it's a tough one to comment on because I don't know if we've gone through it yet. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not sure I even understand it yet. I guess once it plays out, decide and figure out, how it really plays out and works. I mean, I think it's got a chance to be a disadvantage in some capacities, especially with regards to, to what happens with guys signing. But I mean, I guess it's different than often the qualifying offer from before, and then the guy signed, you ended up getting a first round pick. It doesn't sound like it's going to exactly work that way, and we'll just have to see. I don't really know if I can comment on it until it actually takes shape and see what it really does. But, it is what it is, and whatever the situation is, it's just get things to move on and figure out how to make it work and benefit you and your system.
And then lastly, I've interviewed probably 5 or 6 coaches, and every year I interview probably 15 or 20 of your guys' draft picks, their coaches and stuff. And the theme that comes back player after player is obviously character and then Christian and very devout Christian athletes and all that. Where does that play? Where do those two things play in your organization?
Well, I can tell you that obviously character and makeup is huge. And I think we work so hard at making sure we are not only bringing talented players into the system, but ones that fit who we are as people and our moral values. And our guys do an extremely good job of sticking to both. And, I don't think we're perfect by any way, but I do think that we can take on maybe some different challenges that other clubs may not, as long as our scouts believe in the kids and they believe in their hearts. We can take on some challenges, but I don't think that it's anything that we set out for to do anything different. I just think it's something that's preached here a lot, character and values and makeup and guys that are going to wake up every day, and you're not going to have to necessarily motivate them to try to reach their ceiling. That's what they're trying to do for themselves. I think if you set your tone and the environment is that way, and you have people with regard work in that regard, have the mindset of that, then it's a lot easier for coaches to develop those players. And, we have a very good coaching staff and player development staff and a training staff and everything that we do is designed around, taking care of the player. And I think if you ask our players that once they get in, they'll tell you that we don't cut very, very many corners when it comes to doing everything we can for them. And so I think it provides them with an environment to be successful. And when you're around good players and good people, I think that pushes you as a player. And that kind of, just keeps pushing its way through. And that's why I think we have so many guys in Wilmington right now. Those guys all came in a draft class where we didn't have a first round pick or a comp pick. And, those guys all came in and they're all doing well and competing and at a pretty high level for right off the bat. And go back to bringing up Nicky Lopez and Puck and DeVito. I mean, some of those guys are just, they're easy to deal with. They just love to play, and our guys did a good job with them. So I wouldn't tell you that we don't set out to find a certain rate, belief or whatever, but I just think our guys trust in the value and character so much.
Well, I think that's all I have, Lonnie.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.